So far in our service, we have unwrapped a present, revealing something that was hidden. We've had a Christmas quiz with an old quiz show called Catchphrase. When I was thinking about which quiz show to go for when things were revealed, it was either that or Blind Date, but I thought that might get a bit embarrassing. So let's go for a Catchphrase. Blind Date, of course, is the one where you've got three people hidden behind a screen and someone asks some questions and one comes out finally and is the blind date. So we went for Catchphrase anyway. But Christmas means no more guessing games. At that first Christmas, God pulled back the screen. He took off the wrapping paper. He revealed himself to us and also his salvation plan. Where am I getting that from? Well, two places. I'd like you to open your Bibles. It'll not be on the screen, so please do follow with me. We're going to go to John chapter 1, which proves Alan was right. Christmas is mentioned in John chapter 1 and verse 14 and then verse 18. So these are just two verses from John, which shows us that there is no more guessing games as to what God is like. So no more guessing games as to what God is like. So John chapter 1, verse 14 says this: "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Then if you go to John 1 verse 18, so just a few verses down, verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." So what those verses are clearly teaching us is this: no one's seen God. That's a problem. It means he's not known. He's revealed himself in our conscience, in creation, in the Bible, but that's not like meeting him face to face. The other day I was watching Postman Pat. I never thought I'd start an illustration like that. The other day I was watching Postman Pat. And by the way, don't get me started on Postman Pat, the most incompetent postman that's ever existed. He loses things, he drops things in rivers, things get float away using balloons. And yet everyone praises him at the end. Anyway, rant over. But there's this one particular episode, which reveals I've watched more than one episode, but there was this one episode where they're trying to fix the Greendale rocket, which is a steam engine. And Ted Glenn, who is the true hero of Postman Pat, he can fix anything other than the Greendale rocket. They're trying to fix it. Ted Glenn can't fix it. But Postman Pat's son, who I think's called Julian, he has a pen pal whose dad is a steam train fanatic. So what Julian does is writes to his pen pal, and her dad comes on down to fix the Greendale rocket. But what's more, Julian's pen pal and all her family move to Greendale. Do you think Julian knows his pen pal better now, when he's going to school with her, playing with her, seeing her every day, or previously when he only had a few letters from her? Of course, Julian knows his pen pal better when they've actually met each other, when he can actually look into her eyes. Well, the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh. No one's seen God. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, became flesh so that you and me, we could meet him. And just in the same way that you could look into my eyes, or the person who sat next to you, you can look into their eyes, in the same way Mary looked into the eyes of God. Joseph looked at God, the shepherds, the wise men, the disciples, all those people as Jesus was growing up. They could see what Jesus was feeling. They could see how Jesus responded to when people asked him questions, how Jesus responded to pressurized situations. They could see how he reacted. Now there are no surprises because God could be seen. Isn't it sad when people get the wrong end of a stick? You know, you send a text message and an exclamation mark in the wrong place, that can mean someone's excited or very angry. Or maybe a kiss at the bottom of a text message, which you always do, could give someone totally the wrong idea. Terrible, isn't it, when we give people the wrong idea or wrong impression? But when you see someone face to face and you're not just reading something, that cuts down the chance of miscommunication. Christmas means the guessing games are over. Jesus shows us God. And did you notice some great words that we read in verse 14? That Jesus is full of grace and truth. Imagine if Jesus was all truth and no grace. That would mean we would be doomed. Imagine if Jesus was all grace but no truth. We wouldn't even know we had had a problem. And where do we find him? This baby. Where do we find God? Well, it's not mentioned in John, but Jesus was placed in a manger. That is the stage for God Almighty. Isn't that just perfect? Doesn't that just reveal everything we need to know about God? Doesn't that just communicate to us what he's about? I'd like you to imagine Bill Gates or Richard Branson or David Beckham or anybody you know that's rich. Imagine they were going to a hotel. They arrived at reception and they went to book in and they were told, unfortunately, there was only one room left. And that room was the penthouse suite. Now, of course, someone like Richard Branson or Bill Gates or David Beckham, that would probably be the room they went for anyway. Because money is no object to them. So they promptly take the room, they go and they put all their things in the room, then they decide to pop out just to one of the local shops. On their way back to the hotel, they notice somebody. Someone who doesn't have a hotel room, someone who doesn't have a house, a homeless person, just there in a cardboard box, wearing a hat and a big coat. It's raining, it's windy. Now imagine Bill Gates, Richard Branson, David Beckham, or whoever decided to go to that homeless person and say, I want you to have my room. In doing so, they knew there were no other rooms, so they would have to stay outside in the cold and rain. Can you imagine if they did that? When the press got hold of it, they would just be held up as this really commendable person, giving up their room for a homeless person, spending the night on the streets. And rightly so, that would show great humility. It would be a great act of compassion. God didn't give up a penthouse suite, did he? He gave up the realms of glory. In exchange for becoming a man, as well as still God, and being placed in a manger. That tells us what God is like. So that's one thing. Christmas means no more guessing games. We see what God is like. But also, there are now no guessing games in regards to salvation. So let's go back to our memory verse. This is Luke chapter 2. So turn with me back to Luke if you're in John. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going back to Luke. And it's Luke chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 29 and go through to verse 32. But this is telling us what Simeon said. And two of those verses are the verses that we've tried to remember. This is what it says. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So the guessing is over in regards to what God is like, but also the guessing is over as to what God's salvation plan is. Who is the seed of the woman going to be? You know that promise we had in Genesis 3? It's God. It's Jesus. The guessing is over. I don't know if you've seen the movie Shrek. If not, I'm sure it'll be on at some point this Christmas time. For those of you who don't know who Shrek is, he's an ogre. And in Shrek 1, his swamp is invaded by all these unwanted guests. And all Shrek wants as an ogre is a little bit of peace and quiet. So he goes to the Lord of the Land, who, by the way, is a baddie, and he strikes up a deal. If Shrek will go and rescue Princess Fiona, who's locked away somewhere, and I think guarded by a dragon and all kinds of other things, if Shrek will go and rescue her for the villainous Lord, Shrek can have his swamp back. So Shrek accepts, and off he goes to rescue Princess Fiona. Now here's a question. How much do you think the baddie, the Lord, loves Princess Fiona? Enough to risk his life for her? No chance. enough to risk an ogre's life for? Yeah, sure, no sweat. Now, I've heard it said, say it with chocolate, say it with flowers, never say it with an ogre. But the villain likes the idea of being married to a princess. Well, that's all. If he really loved Princess Fiona, he would go himself. Now, men, you might get someone else to go and on an errand to pick up the milk. You might even let someone wash your car. Maybe not your Land Rover, but you might let someone wash your car. But men, would you let someone go and pick an engagement ring for your soon-to-be wife? No chance. You would do that yourself, wouldn't you? God used angels to bring judgment for rebellion. We see that in the Old Testament. He used prophets to warn his people. He used dreams and visions to speak to people. He caused the laws of nature to be suspended to rescue his people and then destroy their enemies. But what about your salvation and my salvation? He doesn't send an angel. He doesn't send a man. He comes himself. Why? Because he is the only one who can rescue you, yes, but also because he wants to rescue you. For God so loved the world that he sent himself. And as Simeon has Jesus in his arms, he looks at him and he knows that this is God's salvation. God himself choosing to be weak, choosing to be flesh. Why? So he can bleed and die. The Apostle Paul sums it up brilliantly for us. Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Christmas means no more guessing games. Know for certain this Christmas that God loves us. That's what Christmas is telling us. God loves us. He is for us. He has come to our rescue by humbling himself. I cannot imagine any house in the whole of the world that would leave a present unopened under the tree. This Christmas time, are you leaving God's greatest gift unopened? Himself. Unaccepted. Are you staying in the dark about Jesus and refusing to accept him? Don't leave the most costly, the most fulfilling, and the most satisfying gift unopened this Christmas time. Make the best, make the most, make this the most wonderful Christmas ever by embracing the baby in a manger who is the Savior who would die on the cross for our sins.